The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you, ladies. Take your Bible, if you will, and go back to the book of John, chapter 14, look at verse 27, where the Bible says, "Peace I leave with you." He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth." It says, "Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And of course, this is a great encouraging verse. I know what it is to be able to lay down the head at night and have a perfect peace, maybe even a peace that the world doesn't understand, a peace that passeth away, if you will, that the world could not put a grip on. And I want us to examine this morning about understanding peace. And I want us to understand how not just to understand it as a subject matter, but how to embrace it, how to let that become a part of your very life, and the way that you could have a peace with God that everyone else could have as well. So let's look at it if we could. Here we'll see, of course, a couple of statements I want to give you this morning about this matter of peace. Statement number one, peace, now think about this, sin brings no peace. When a person is embraced in that which is sin, there is no peace there. Matter of fact, here's what the Bible says. Isaiah chapter 57 and in verse 21, the Bible says, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." And so a person, no matter what they do, they cannot obtain peace within themselves. A person cannot obtain peace by trying to build it up, or if you would please, try to make it come into existence. They can't own it by themselves. It's not something they can buy. It's not something they can merit. Peace is not something, of course, that they can seek and find because it's hidden in some golden place or beyond that which some type of throne. No, people try to find peace in different ways. Matter of fact, some people try to find peace in alcohol. When all of a sudden the stress mounts up and all of a sudden things are not going well, what they try to do is they try to find peace in a bottle. And so they'll run to a bottle someplace and they'll drink it and drink it and drink it, trying to wash away that which is a troublesome time. Some people would try to find peace in drugs, but they can't find it there. Some people try and find peace in pleasure. They'll go out and maybe they'll go to an amusement park, or maybe they'll go on a fast ride somewhere, or maybe they'll try to do something, if you will, as a substitutionary thing in order to be able to find peace. And so maybe they'll bury themselves in the pleasure of reading a book, or maybe they'll bury themselves in the pleasure of watching a rerun of some type of television program or movie that they saw one time that they thought perhaps would soothe this uneasy time that they're having in their life. Some people try to seek peace through money. You know, they think, boy, you know, if I just had enough money, all my problems would disappear. Some people try to do it through fame. They think, you know, if I get good at this, I'll be accepted. If I'm able to accomplish this height in my life, I'll be able to be looked upon and be accepted by those around me. And because I've accomplished this type of fame, then I am certainly one that will gather peace in my life. Some people try to do it by maybe possessions. And so they go out and they buy and they buy and they buy and they buy and they buy. You know, some people will gather, and I've seen people like this that have, they go couponing, and they'll take and they get coupons, and they build them, and they'll go in, and maybe the bill would be $800 or $900, but they coupon so well that they walk out paying zero or a penny or two pennies or something like that. And I've seen people that they will have garages that are filled with you know 100 different types of cleaning agencies and stuff like that, and they think that by doing this, I'm going to have peace because, after all, I'm accomplishing something. Some people think they'll find peace in religion, so they get very religious. I talked to a man the other day, and I said, "Do you go to church?" He said, "Oh, I'm faithful. I said, "Well, how often do you go to church?" He said, "I'm faithful. I'm telling you, I'm faithful. I go every time. I see it's very important to me." And I said, "How often is that?" He said, "I go every Easter and I go every Christmas." And but so they think that being religious this as something that they can obtain peace. But our Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and in verse 10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says in verse 11 of that same chapter of Romans chapter 3, the Bible says, there's none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Romans chapter 3 and in verse 17, the Bible says, the way of peace, it says, have they not known? And so people are trying to find peace in their own caliber of understanding. But there's no way that a person can find that type of peace. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59 in verse 2, the Bible says, but your iniquities have separated, it says, between you and your God, and your sins, it says, has he hid his face from you, and he will not hear. And so there is that which separates us from God. You know, when I go out and I talk to people all the time and outdoor knocking and inviting people to church and meeting with different businessmen at different places, and as we go over Bible truth and helping them to understand, it's not what you have obtained. It's not the position that you now state yourself to be in. It is that which is a relationship with Jesus Christ, and only a relationship with Jesus Christ that gives the peace that passes all understanding. You can be a Baptist and not have peace. You can be a Lutheran and not have peace. You can be somebody that's a Methodist. You can be a Mormon, a Jehovah Witness. You can be a Church of Christ and not have peace. Religion does not give peace, only a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, we all have the problem with sin. You were born in sin. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. We all have something in common this morning. You and I were born sinners. Now, that sin has to be taken care of. If that sin is not taken care of, you and I will be destitute and alone as we try to take care of sin ourselves. May I remind you, please, that sin will leave you lonely. It will leave you lonely. May I remind you that sin will leave you hopeless. Sin will leave you broken and wanting and stressed out and scared and broken into pieces. But there's somebody that can take all the problems that you and I have. There's somebody that can take all the distresses that you and I face and make it all right. And that is none other than Jesus Christ. So when I receive Jesus Christ as Savior, what takes place then is now I'm not living, if you would please, as that sinner that's unclean. I am still a sinner, but I'm forgiven by the very graces of God. And the mercy of God is shed upon me, whereby I don't have to worry about dying and burning in a place that's called hell, but rather now I can go to heaven. Why? Because it's God's peace that now has filled my heart through his good graces and his mercy bestowed upon me through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. So we understand this, that sin does not bring peace. No matter what a person does, no matter what they try to achieve, no matter what they try to put on, that does not bring peace. We understand this, that salvation, it says, the Bible teaching, does bring peace with God. All right, so sin, there is no peace. Salvation, there is peace with God. Now, I want you to understand how the Holy Spirit puts this in the Bible as we talk about the different realms or different levels or different opportunities to be able to have peace. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, it says, being justified by faith, says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I never will forget growing up in a religious home. I went and I served in the church, and I did everything that I thought that a person ought to do in order to be right with God. And we had the Holy Communion, and many times I would go downstairs and I would be of course, the one that led that service, and I was a Roman Catholic young man at the time, and so I'd go downstairs after the service at St. Bartholomew's Catholic Church, and I'd watch my priest. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm not slamming any religion. I want you to get the picture of where I came from, okay? And so, but I'd watch my priest. He'd take the wine, that we use real wine in the church service, and he would drink it down. And I got to thinking about something. I thought, you know, that men of the cloth, and it's just something that I thought it's supposed to be holy. And so I got thinking about that. And as I kept thinking about that, I thought, now, the picture doesn't line up here. It just doesn't line up. And so there's got to be more to it than this. And so I was just a young man. I was 18 years of age. I knew nothing about Christianity. I knew nothing about the Bible. I never read a verse in the Bible a day in my life. I knew nothing about things of that nature. But I knew this. I knew that there had to be a God in heaven. And I knew that there was a creator that created all that was, is, and ever would be. And so I got on my bed that night. Never will forget it. And it was in July. And I lifted up the window. And I cried out to God. And I said, God, there's got to be more to it than this. If you're real, reveal yourself unto me. There's just got to be more to it than this. I mean, there's just got to be more to it. Now, by the way, I was crying out in earnest. I was crying out in sincerity. I wasn't trying to become somebody that was religious. I've been religious all my life. But I knew that inside of me there was a void that was not filled. And I was searching for something. In all honesty, I was searching for something, and I had no idea what I was searching for. All I knew that there was a void in my life, I had no answer, and I couldn't figure it out. And so I laid on my bed that July evening, and I cocked open that window, and I looked up into the stars of heaven, and I cried. And I said, dear God, there's got to be more to it than this. If there is more to it than this, please show me. I never will forget. July 24th, 1979. I was at the Reese's Carnival Ground in Westminster, Maryland. I was walking along, minding my own business. And by the way, that's why it's so important that you attend a soul-winning church. I was walking around and I was minding my own business, and a teenage boy by the name of David Lee, 16 years of age, I was 18 years of age, came up to me and asked me a question that personally nobody ever asked me before. He said, do you know for sure if you died, you go to heaven? And I thought, that is what I've been looking for. But I was honest with him because I didn't know where he was going with this. And I said, to be honest with you, sir, if anybody's going to make it to heaven, I will. I've never murdered anybody. Aren't you glad you have a pastor that's never murdered anybody? I've never created or I've never been involved in immorality. I've been good to my parents. Now, of course, as anybody does, is that right? As anybody does, whenever you're telling about yourself, you always make yourself look better than you are. And so I said, if anybody deserves to go to heaven, this was my mistake. I said, if anybody deserves to go to heaven, I'm getting in. He said, well, what if the Bible disagrees with what you're saying there? Well, what if I could show you in the Bible that you're not going to get in by your good works? Let me show you something. And so he started asking me questions. Do you know? And I said, well, I just told you I know. I think I will go. And he said, no, and he used the word think in combination with the word know. He'd leave the word think out. Do you know? He was pushing me. 100% for sure, do you know? I started talking about my works, and he started pulling out verses out of the Bible. Now, understand, I've never seen a Bible before in my life. He started pulling verses, and by the way, can I tell you something this morning, and you can say amen to it? The Bible is true. If it comes to man's opinion and a Bible verse in the Bible is true. He pulled open that Bible, he opened that Bible, and he showed me verses such as, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, and basically asked me the question, what are you going to do with that one? And I had no idea where to go with that. But he showed me enough Bible truth that I understood by the time he got done with me that I was a sinner, undone, without hope, wasn't going to go to heaven. He showed me I was a sinner. He showed me there was a wage for sin. He showed me the wages of sin is death and hell. He showed me where my end was going to be at the end of my life. And I made a heart decision that very day, an 18-year-old boy standing alone in a carnival ground facing an individual soul winner. And I bowed my heart. heart and I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'm telling you, what took place on that day is God gave me a peace that passeth all understanding. And God says that you can have that peace through Jesus Christ. See, the Bible says here, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There's a way to have peace with God. How do you do that? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. I know that Natalie and Nathaniel's dad is here today. And I remember the day when those two precious kids that rode our bus was in that awful fire and burned in that apartment. And how there was a soul winner in our church that loved them and cared for them and showed them their need of Christ, and both those precious little ones bowed their heads, received Christ as Savior, came to our Sunday school. And I remember him coming to my office with his dad and Brother Hernandez meeting me in there with them and them bowing their hearts and receiving Christ as Savior. Now he can have a testimony. I can't bring them back, but now I can go to them, just like David did in the Bible. There's just something about knowing that you can go to heaven and knowing that you're going to go to heaven through Jesus Christ that gives you a peace that passeth all understanding. I remember the story of Andrew Jackson. As Andrew Jackson was riding that horse and he had his hand up and there was a musket ball that penetrated through his hand as somebody shot it from the distant woods and blood started coming down his coat sleeve and one of the men said, you need to go to the medic tent and you need to be cared for, and he said, I have a duty to perform, and then he looked at that young man that was standing down beside his horse, and he said, a saved man never fears death. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? It is one thing to understand about God. It is another thing to know God. It is one thing to know him as a God. It's another thing to know him as your heavenly Father, God. There's a peace that passeth all understanding. Now, wait a minute. We understand this, that sin brings you no peace. Statement number two, we understand that salvation brings you peace with God. You ready? Statement number three, supplication brings you the peace of God. You know, once you have the peace with God, what more else do you need? Well, sometimes we have peace with God. I mean, I know I'm a child of God. The Bible says you must be born again. John chapter 3, it doesn't say perpetual state of being. You must be born again and again and again. It's a one-time experience with Jesus Christ. And when you become born again, you have peace with God. But wait a minute, I know a lot of believers that have peace with God but do not have the peace of God. There's one thing to have peace with God. It's totally different to have the peace of God. How do I get the peace of God? Notice in your Bible, please, Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, especially if you're sitting here this morning and you say, that's me, Pastor. I have peace with God, but I do not have the peace of God. How is it this morning that you get the peace of God? Here's what the Bible says, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. Now, that means you don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, watch what it says as you do that. All right, so all of a sudden, we got all these worries that come our way. We got these problems, we have stress, we have complications. It might be a financial burden, it might be a relationship burden, it might be some other type of burden, and these things begin to pelvet against us. Now, here's what he says. He says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about it. It's going to be okay, and he's going to tell you how it's going to be okay. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now watch what it says in verse 7, Philippians chapter 4. The Bible says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. In other words, people don't understand it. How in the world can you have the peace of God facing cancer? Well, first off, you can have peace with God because of relationship. You can have the peace of God because you're trusting him with everything that happens after the relationship. Now, here's what it says. The Bible says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds, how? Through Christ Jesus. Now, if you take your heart and your mind and you stay it on the one that has the peace, then he can give you the peace of which he has. Therefore, you have the peace of God. But if I stay my attention on other things, okay, all of a sudden I have sorrow. And if I look at the sorrow, I stare at the sorrow, then that overtakes me. I have a burden. And I allow that burden. I just stare at it and stare at it and stare at it and stare on. You know, staring at a burden is much like staring at a tall building that's been built in cement. It doesn't go away. You have that which is a care. You have a grief. You have maybe something that is bothering you beyond relief. You have something that is incomparable for other people to understand. And you can't handle that. Well, what do? You go to the one that can give you the peace of God. You make that supplicational prayer to him. You can't handle the finances, but he can. You can't handle the health problems, but he can. You can't handle the trouble, but he can. You can't handle a child that's giving you grief, but he can. You can't handle a problem at job, but he can. You can't handle the burdens of life that life levies against you, but he can. Now, how is that? Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, the Bible says, that will keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace, that's mature peace. The word perfect means mature. He says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. You mean I can have perfect peace? Yeah, how do you have perfect peace? You have perfect peace because your mind is stayed on him. If your mind is stayed on him, that's called focus. That's called focus. By the way, you know this, that when you're in the presence of someone and you know the someone, stay with me, that you're in the presence of has the ability to make the whoa all right, you feel better, don't you? You feel even better if the someone in whom you are standing in their presence says, don't worry, I'll take care of it. You feel better about that. When we were little boys, I have three brothers, we were little boys, there was something about coming in, we'd be outside, we'd get scratches and stuff, and we'd be coming in, and my mother or my dad would say, now don't worry about it, it's going to be okay. She called them boo-boos, boo-boos. I mean, we might have half the arm hanging off, and she'll say, your boo-boo will be okay. All right. Of course, my parents did not get saved till later in life. But I found with my children, when all of a sudden they'd come running into mama or they come running into me, and we would say, it's going to be okay, let's pray. And we carried them to the throne of God. There was something about connecting them to God that gave them a more complete assurance that everything was going to be okay. You know why? Because they knew that God could make everything okay. Now, you can do one of two things when stresses and problems come. You can turn around and stare at them and stare at them and stare at them. And probably you might put yourself in a situation having a nervous breakdown. Or what you could do is you could go to God realizing you are one of his children. And just like a child comes into a parent and says, look, I've got a boo-boo and I don't understand what to do. Did you know God cares about you? And you could go to God and say, God, I just don't understand this and I need some help. And God, would you please help me with this? And God, the Father, the creator of the universe, can reach down from the portals of glory and be able to make it okay. That's God. Now, so many times, here's what we want to do. We want to take care of our own boo-boos. We want to take care of our own problems. Here's what we do. We go and we take care of our own problems until they get so big that we have to go to God. And then once we have to go to God, then we go to God. Why don't we go to God before we have to go to God? Because they're so big. Why, you know, the Bible says to be careful for nothing. He said, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Well, why don't you go to God with that request, even when they're small? Even when they're small. And you said, well, God doesn't like a whine baby. We're not talking about being a whine baby. We're talking about being a true child of God that has a true heavenly Father that cares about you. Notice this, you see here, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, it says, and let the peace of God rule your hearts. Rule your hearts, that means control. He says, to the which also you're called, it says, in one body, it says, and to be thankful. Now, how can I be thankful when things go wrong? Because I'm in the presence of one that can make things all right. Look, we get so used to the humanality of people and them being human instrumentalities in our life to be able to make things right. Could we not also trust God as much as we trust a human? You say, it's hard because the human can pat me on the back. Would there be a way possibly that you could be so close to God? Maybe you could be more close to God than you are to your wife. Maybe you could be more close to God than you are to your husband. Maybe you could be more close to God than you as a child or to your parents, where you could go to God and say, dear God, I need your help. Would it and could it be possible that you could be so close to God that when all of a sudden you pray, you know that by the time you get done praying and you get up off of your knees, you know that God is going to answer prayer. Could there be a possibility that you could have that type of relationship with the God of the universe? Might that be possible? Yes, it is. How is it possible, Pastor? It's possible when you go to God first off and you understand there's no way to go to heaven and there's no way you could be part of the family of God until you establish a relationship with Jesus Christ by receiving Christ as Savior. Now you have peace with God. But once you have peace with God, it would be nice if you have the peace of God. Oh, come on, I know Christians that lose their temper. Now, I know you won't believe that. But I know Christians that sit at red lights and they get tensed up. And all of a sudden they begin to honk that horn. Now, of course, being Christians, they only say Christian words. You know that to be true. But they get all tense. Their palms begin to sweat. Their mouth begins to dry. They say things they ought not to say. Now, what is that? Does that mean they're not saved? No, they have peace with God. They've received Christ as Savior. He that hath the Son have everlasting life. God's not going to take that away. But they're lacking the peace of God. My children are my children, no matter how old they ever become. I have three boys. I have a girl. They'll always be my children. Because they are always my children, they are with us. With us. As you have peace with God, they are with us. But sometimes they may not be of us. You ever sit in the living room and there's three kids sitting in the living room with you and they're with you, but they're not of you? Because you try to talk to them and they're not of you, they're not there. Physically, they're there. They're always going to be there. They're always going to be your kids. Stay with me. But they're not of the conversation. They're not of the enjoying of the pizza roll. I like it when they're not of the enjoying of the pizza roll. But they're not of. See, there's a way to have a peace with God, but not have the peace of God. The peace of God has to do with your relationship now that you're a born-again believer. You know to do right, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is. Sure, there's a way to have a peace with God, but not have the peace of God. Don't confess your sin, please. But I wonder how many people sit in this room and there's been a day in your life where God told you to do something and you knew it because you're one of his children. But you absolutely refused to do it. Now, you did not lose your salvation. You're still one of his kids. But the fact still remains that there was no peace. And you walked around for weeks with an uneasy feeling. You walked around for weeks under conviction because you knew what you should have did, but you didn't do it. I'm saying this. I'm saying that sin does not bring peace with God. Salvation brings peace with God. Supplication brings the peace of God. Let me show you this one real quick and I'm done. Service and surrender will bring you Listen to this, the God of peace. The God of peace. There's one way I get peace from God. There's another way that God, if you will, please, and I partner in peace. I told a man the other day, I said, the reason God's been so good to you is so you can serve God. Everybody ought to have a ministry somewhere. Now, it might be the ministry of helping someone else. It might be the ministry of, but you ought to have a ministry somewhere, doing something for God. God's been good to you so that you have the freedom to be able to serve. Now watch this, if you will. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, the Bible says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard in me, do. Now watch what it says, as we do them. The Bible says, and the peace of God shall be with you. Well, now you got the combination. You got an of and a with. How do I get the of and the with? I get the of and the with by serving and surrendering so that God gives the peace. You know, when God speaks to your heart and God shows you to do something, here's what we ought to do. We ought to rise up and say, here's what I want. Now, let me show you the advantage of that. Let me give it to you and I'm done. Last verse I'll read to you. Here it is. Romans chapter 16, verse 20. The Bible says, and the God, it says, of peace, the God of peace, shall bruise Satan under, listen to it now, your feet shortly. So you know what happens? You know what happens when I have peace with God and I'm stepping out in obedience to God that gives me the peace of God? Then what happens is that I accomplish more than what I think, because the Bible says that there's a bruising that is under my feet onto Satan. Because what takes place is, okay, the devil wins when I don't obey. He wins when I don't obey. Okay, boy, all of a sudden, stand up, hold your Bible, if you will. All right, and so I hear a preacher preach something, and boy, you know, it's right there, and I see it, and oh, wow, you know, now I'm already a believer. I've already received Christ as Savior. I've got peace with God. But I say, well, you know, I'm not going to do that right now. I hope he turns the page, because I don't want to do that right now. All right, and then I go about my way, and I've got a friend out here that's a business friend, and so he says, well, you know, I'll tell you what, why don't we, let's do this, but let's not do that. Now, he may not say that, but he pulls me his direction. And then I've got somebody else, if you will, let go, please, and I got somebody else, if you will, and he tries to pull me this direction. Now, by the way, he's a good man, and he's a good man. But I know good and well, God said, he wants me, can you let go of me, please, too? And well, they like that illustration. They just hold on to me forever. And, all right? And so what takes place is, you know, now what I need is somebody in my life that will come that will help me to connect to that which is what God said. I need a friend. Now, you might not have a friend. The fact still remains, you have a Bible. Now, your friend can be that which is the one that passeth the baton to you to help you to get to God, so whereby you know, somebody encourages you to come to church, hey, praise God for that. Somebody encourages you to pray, praise God for that. Somebody encourages you to do right, praise God for that. But what if you have nobody? You still have a Holy Ghost. You still have a Holy Spirit. And that Holy Ghost, that Holy Spirit, can help you to be able to connect directly to God. See, I'm saying this. I'm saying there's a way. Thank you. Be seated. I remember July 24th, 1979, 8:35 at night. As sure as I'm standing right here, I remember that night when I was at that carnival ground. David Lee took that Bible, showed me, and I bowed my heart. I received Christ as Savior, and there was a peace with God I never experienced in my entire life. Amen. Then as I stepped out, and I started obeying God, I started listening to his Bible, and I started obeying his Bible, then God gave a piece of. And then when I started saying, God, I want to do more with you, then there was a partnership, and I had the of and the with. I was with and had the of, and it was a wonderful thing. Now, I'm saying there's a way to have that peace. I feel for man today that does not have nor understand that which is the peace of God. I think churches all over America is filled with people They come to church, but they don't have a true, genuine relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. And they come and they sit, and it's just like attending another religious service. But may I say, church ought not to be just another religious service. Church ought to be a place where you can come and the man of God gets up and he opens the book of God and he tells you exactly what you need to do to be able to make things right or right-er so that you can strengthen your relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when you come to church and the man of God opens up the Bible, not that which is a Reader's Digest. But when he opens up a Bible and he begins to tell you something, and the Holy Ghost of God has free reign to be able to talk to you and be able to change you in your life, then that relationship gets sweeter. And before you know it, you're walking out on your own and saying, boy, I tell you what, I just don't have peace with God. I got the peace of God. But I just don't have peace of God. I've got peace with God and of God in a sweeter, more affectionate relationship because I am doing the will of the Father as I do what he tells me to do. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Met a man many years ago, and I'll close. And he said, preacher, he said, I knew when I was a young man, God wanted me to do something. He said, I didn't do it. He said, for the past 60-some years, I've not done it. I knew I should have. He said, I go to church every so often. When I show up at church, sure enough, he said, the preacher would get up, and the preacher would preach. He said, that blessed Holy Ghost would come so real to me. And he'd say, you need to do that, and I just kind of ignore it, you know. He said, I'd fall away, not go back to church for a long time, and all of a sudden I'd show up. He said, and the man of God get up and preach, and sure enough, he said, sure enough, there it was again. Holy Spirit said, you need to do this. And he said, I'd listen to it for a little bit, and I'd feel bad because I wasn't doing it. And I'd get up and I'd leave, and I'd go about my business and not be in church for a long time. He said, that went on for over 60 years. He was in his 70s when he got right with the Lord. He died in his late 70s. But the last 8 years of his life, only the last 8 years of his life, he was a man that had peace with God. He was a man that had peace of God. He was a man that had peace with and of God as he did do what God told him to do. And here's what he said. I wish I would have did it 60 years ago. I wish I would have did it 60 years ago. But the last 8 years of my life was the best 8 years of my entire life because I knew what it was to do what I was supposed to do. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.